Sunday, and I'm just going to read a snippet of it right now, but it says this. It says, Luke 19:35, they brought it to Jesus. This is talking about the donkey. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, they spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They shouted, praise be to God Almighty. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. When I think about what's going on here, one of the analogs that kind of comes to mind, one of the things that I see in our society that reminds me of this display of exuberance, this display I'm willing to even throw my coat down on the road. I'm going to go cut branches from a tree and throw it down there. I'm going to shout. I'm going to spin around. I'm going to dance. It kind of reminds you of a parade, maybe even like a victory parade or something like that. It reminds you of winning and all of these things. Just the way that I'm wired, and you guys probably get sick of me using so many sports metaphors, but I oftentimes think of sports teams when I'm thinking about this type of a setting. And we know that sports fans can be among the most passionate on the planet. In fact, you guys probably get sick of me saying sports metaphors all the time, but I'm a fan, and I can't help it, right? It just comes out of me. It's part of who I am to talk about things that I'm passionate about. And as we know, that with sports fans and in life, you have people that they are excited about things when things are going well, and they are frustrated when things are going badly. Now, behind me on the screen, you can see a video that is playing out, and I intentionally left the sound off of it because I wanted you to see this. So this is at a Mariners game. And these fans made it onto the Jumbotron that displays in the whole stadium. And if you can, it's hard to read, but if you see their shirts, it says Go Mariners on the front of their shirt. So they're standing there, they're cheering, they're excited. The Jumbotron camera operator is like, we need to get these guys on camera because these guys are pumped. And as soon as it swivels around, now if we could show that next picture, as soon as it swivels around, they turn around and it says sell the team on the back of their t-shirts. So it's funny how fickle fans can be. It's funny how in one second you can be excited chanting Go Mariners, and the next minute you can be frustrated chanting sell the team. Now, we've all been there in different areas of our life. Maybe you don't care anything about sports, but you know what it is to be really excited about something and then to be let down by that thing. And you know what it is to put all of your time and effort and energy. My kids right now are into the little perler beads. They're the beads that you make a design and then you press it down with an iron. They're super excited about these things. They've got them. They're carrying them everywhere. In fact, you'll probably find them scattered around the house because they've been doing them here over the last week. It was spring break, and so we had them coming here. I don't know what's going on with the lights, but we'll get it figured out here. They're really excited about these things. They're showing everybody. They just can't wait. You might have a favorite recipe that you pull out a couple times a year that you're like, when I make this, I'm not only making some for me, but I'm making some for my aunt and my uncle, and I'm going to have them drive over here and pick it up because it's so good and it takes so much time. That I want to make sure that I spread the wealth as far as I can. I want to impact as many people as I can. And the truth is that things that we're passionate about, we don't care how much time it takes. We don't care how much energy it is. We don't care that all of those people had to buy tickets to go to a game. They had to ruin perfectly good t-shirts in order to make a statement. They didn't care about the cost. They didn't care about the time that it took. They didn't care about any of those things because they were so excited about getting their message across. And it's the same thing for us. When we're passionate about something, We're ready to just jump in. We're ready to dive in. And we see this then on Palm Sunday when we think back to the story and the video that we just watched of these crowds of people that are just excited about Jesus and they can't wait to see what he's going to do next. Interestingly, this Palm Sunday moment takes place just a few short weeks after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And the Bible when in talking about Lazarus says that the word spread throughout the area after he was raised from the dead. You can imagine what it would do to a community if somebody was dead for 4 days. They're dead. There's no life at all. And all of a sudden, they come back to life. And just a few short weeks later, now Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And they know, the crowd knows the reason that he's there. The crowd knows why he has come, why he made this statement in Lazarus's hometown, and why now he's entering into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey. He's fulfilling the prophecy in Zephaniah. He is making every effort now. He's spent 3 years kind of dodging this question. Now he's coming in as the king. Now he's coming in riding on a donkey, people throwing their coats down in front of him, and the crowd is at fever pitch. And they're so excited to see what he's going to do next. We've been in a series of core values. It's statements about who we are becoming as a church. And one of our core values is that we are passionate in prayer and in pursuit of God. We are passionate in prayer and in pursuit of God. We like to say that we're passionate, but we want to have a passion that is rooted in relationship. And we want to make sure that our passion has a foundation of something behind it. Because we all know what it's like to feel let down. We all know what it's like to root for a sports team and then have them drop the ball. They can't make a shot in the last minute. There's something goes wrong. Everything spirals out of control. We also know what it's like to have a passion in a relationship, either a dating relationship, a marriage relationship, or even just a good friend, where you think that the relationship is going one way, and all of a sudden they stop calling, and all of a sudden they stop texting, and all of a sudden things are different, and you're not quite sure what happened, but it's like all of a sudden the relationship has cooled. And we see this where life hits us, things are going well, and then you go to the doctor, and there's a diagnosis that you weren't expecting. Or there's a bill that comes in the mail and you don't know how to pay for it. And life hits hard in those moments. Prayers go unanswered. Relationships get strained. Dreams get delayed. We see all of these things happening. And how do we maintain passion for God in that kind of a setting? How do we maintain passion for God when the Jesus that rides in on the colt as a king then goes and turns over tables in the temple? He's making everybody mad. Just a few short days later, either the crowd has completely turned on him, or at the very least the crowd has decided that he's not worth sticking up for anymore, and now people are shouting a different thing just a few short days later. Maybe you felt like you used to spend lots of time in prayer. You were passionate about God, but I just don't see anything changing in my life. How do I maintain that passion that I used to have? I want to feel close to God, but I'm just tired. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you felt that life just over the passage of time has kind of dulled, has chipped away at that fire that you used to have. And maybe you feel like, I'm going to church, I'm showing up faithfully, but I just don't feel anything anymore. It just feels like nothing is happening. And so today I want to admit something to you, and I'm hoping that you'll be bold enough to admit back to me that sometimes I can settle for going through the motions when what I really need is a fresh encounter with God. Sometimes I can settle with coming in, I attend the prayer meetings, I'm on the worship team. Sometimes it's hard to get that passion stirred up day in, day out, week in and week out. And I think that if we're honest in here, all of us would say the same thing. That it can be hard sometimes to go through those motions. I think that we're all in that same boat. We want healing. We want answers. We want solutions. And the truth is, we should bring those things to God. When we're going through low moments in our life, God wants to hear about the lows just as much as he wants to hear about the highs. But what we need to recognize is that in life, real transformation, the type of transformation that we're seeking, it doesn't only come on the mountaintop. It doesn't only come in the good moments when everything is going well. It doesn't come at a women's conference or a men's conference. It doesn't come at a camp or a retreat. Real transformation happens when life hits you. Real transformation happens when you go through something. Real transformation doesn't happen at the parade. It happens in the day-to-day, week-to-week, grinding it out and trusting God in all of those situations. That's where real transformation happens. So this message today and the core value that we talk about, it's not just an idea. In fact, it's more than an idea. I would say it's an invitation to us. Not that this is something that we have to figure out. Not that this is something that we're always going to get right. But it's something that we always want to be striving for. For those who feel struck, who feel stuck, who feel dry, who feel distant, who feel disappointed, God is calling you back to a pursuit of him. God is calling you back into passion, back into his presence. Because we are a people who are passionate about prayer and our pursuit of God. And so I want us to look for a few minutes at what passion looks like from a biblical perspective. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're with me so far, go ahead and say amen. All right. We want to be a people who are not about hype, and this core value isn't about hype. Instead, it's about hunger. It's about a desire to know God more. It's about a desire to push through when life comes against us. And in Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, he shows us a glimpse of what it means to be passionate. We're going to start in verse 16. It says this. It says, rejoice always. Rejoice always, it says. Then the next verse, pray continually. Next verse, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Always, continually, and in all circumstances, he wants you to do this. For this, he says, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this letter to the church in Thessalonica because he's impressed by their faithfulness, their steadfastness during a time of persecution for this church. The people around them had risen up. They were trying to distract, trying to disrupt what God was doing in this church. And so Paul writes them a letter to encourage them. And this is how he signs off on his first letter. He says, I want you to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, because this is what God wants for you. How's your life looking in comparison to this? Would you say that you're rejoicing always? Would you say that you're praying continually? Would you say that you're giving thanks even when things are hard? I think if we're honest in here,